Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Yeah, the Seahawks need and want to win on Sunday, but is that the only way we're measuring success for this team? What
No.
does success look like for the Seahawks? What is a measure of success?
What's it look like?
What's it look like? Now, feel free to chime into this conversation, 866-979-3776. Bump.
Well, you need the W, right?
Of course.
You want the W.
Of course.
But it's deeper than that. You got to get pressure on the quarterback. This team has 3 sacks in 2 games. You got to get interceptions. No interceptions. 1 of 8 teams with no interceptions. You want to see this offense opened up. Pete Carroll says you got to let Geno loose. Got to let him throw the football down the field. You got to get DK Metcalf involved. No reason why this man shouldn't have like 150 yards by now and a couple touchdowns. You have to get the tight ends involved again. I want to see that creativity from that first week against the Denver Broncos. Defensively, you want to see a push at the line of scrimmage, right? I feel like the 49ers won that battle in the trenches last week. Mm-hmm. You want to see these corners continue to develop. Tariq Woolen's had a good season so far, a couple penalties. Kobe Bryant, decent season so far, a couple penalties. Mike Jackson out there doing his thing. You want to see Quandre Diggs almost had a penalty interception week 1, Monday Night Football. So there are a lot of things like individual battles, and then you want to see schematically some things change.
Schematically, you mean just opening it up for DK a little bit more?
Open it up for DK, and then I want to see creative ways to get pressure on Mariota. And I also want to see some discipline with that defense because, like I mentioned earlier, they're going to see some of the things that the 49ers did, just not to the level that the 49ers did it, but you'll see some of that stuff.
Well, yeah, I feel like if you're Atlanta, you're looking at what the 49ers did, and you know you don't have the same personnel, but you're like, well, let's see. They were able to get 189 on the ground, and we don't have Debo Samuel, but this looks like a defense that's still figuring out how to tackle guys and how to stop guys. Now, success, I think, I promise I will not complain about this game if the following 3 things happen.
All right.
I promise. Number one.
Even if they lose, if these 3 things happen.
Okay, can I complain about the way they lost if it's something crazy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I will complain, but not about a lack of progress if the following 3 things happen. Number one, they have like more than 100 rushing yards.
More than 100?
I was going to say 80, but it's, you know what?
Go for it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, based on the team you want to be, yeah. More than 100 rushing yards.
Okay.
Falcons are allowing 105 per game. This is through 2 games, but granted. More than 100 rushing yards. Number two, that there are fewer than 6 penalties.
Okay.
Okay.
10 last game.
Yep. Number three, where do I want to go with this? You know what I'm going to go? Daryl Taylor does something. He gets a pick. He gets a sack. Recovers a fumble, forces a fumble. This is a guy that you almost took in the first round. And I feel like because of that, we kind of overlook it. He didn't play his rookie season. He was a second round pick out of Tennessee. This is a player who John Schneider said they almost took in the first round. He was brought in to be a part of the core of this team. And in theory, he's talented. I mean, they really, really like him.
Yep.
But he has not gotten off to a great start for this team. And you mentioned it earlier, Bump. His success is very important to the success of the defense as a whole.
Yes, it is. And that's why, you know what? I saw a quote. I think it was the running back coach from East Carolina. I want to say the college. He said something like expectations are great because it means that people are dependent on you, counting on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have expectations. It means you're capable of doing something. And that's Daryl Taylor. There's expectations because you saw him have 6.5 sacks last year. You feel like him going into his second full season that he's learned some tricks of the trade. He's maturing as a young football player, and getting pressure on the quarterback has been an issue over the last, couple seasons. So you thought that he would be the guy to kind of lead the charge when it comes to that. So he is a big part of this. There's still room for him to grow. That's why I don't want people to write him off. Like, it's week 2, right? In a new defense, there's room for him to grow. But you hear Clint Hurd, he goes, look, we got to talk about accountability. And Hurd also says that he has to be the guy to help along the way. He's a young player. There's coaches for a reason. And players don't coach themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So DT's need to step it up, and he has the capabilities to do that. So I'm interested to see how he does that this week.
There's room for him to grow, but I think the clock has started ticking with the defense as a whole, and I'll include the run game as well, particularly if you can start to get Ken Walker involved, because he's more assuredly a part of your team moving forward than is Rashad Penny, who's on a one-year deal. This, think of the team Pete Carroll wants to be, the identity he wants to have. Great defense. You can take the ball away. You can play aggressive. You get off the field. And on offense, you don't give up the ball. You have a balanced attack, and you go for some explosive plays, right?
Yeah.
That's a perfect Pete Carroll team.
Beautiful.
That's not who they've been through 2 weeks. And that's okay. You're figuring stuff out. But if you don't start to see those pieces, like, I'm not looking at it saying, if DK Metcalf doesn't have 1,500 yards this season is a failure. That's not really the kind of offense Pete Carroll has had. And that's not really the kind of offense that he absolutely covets, right? But if you start saying, ooh, you're 32nd in rushing attempts per game. Ooh, you have no interceptions. That's different. That's a different kind of clock ticking there.
Yeah, different type. And the thing, let's put DK's role in perspective here, right? Because you can't expect him to have over 1,000 yards to have, but you can't expect 10 to 12 touchdowns, though, right? Use them in the red zone. And if we can understand that and understand that, okay, he should have 3 to 4 shots per game, and is look at him as the big play guy rather than the guy who you need to have 100, 120 yards per game, then I think you get a better idea of what this team is and or what they want to be, which is a run-heavy team with a quarterback who controls the game, but you're willing to take shots down the field. That's part of what Pete Carroll wants to be. So it kind of changes a little bit. Now, if you get a veteran quarterback in here or a young quarterback in here who is more than capable, has arm talent, is mobile and stuff, then expectations change a little bit. So I think we have to, as we break this team down every week, we have to start looking for certain things, different things every week. But some things remain the same. You want to run that rock, get pressure on the quarterback.
On the Mac Jacks text line, you can join this conversation anytime, 866-979-3776. Ha, 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 says the 253. Come on, man. When's the last time a Pete Carroll team had less than 6 penalties? Never.
Week
one?
Yes.
They have 5 penalties?
What?
Let's stop writing off stuff like that as like just a normal thing that comes with the territory of whatever head coach you have
Like
no head coach wants to gift a defense first downs. Like, you don't look at it and say, oh, penalties are just part of it for a Pete Carroll team. But on the flip side, you have, I don't know, a great defense or X, Y, and Z. No, Pete Carroll doesn't want penalties. And by the way, they've had much cleaner games.
Yeah.
Like, 10 penalties in a game is not normal. That's a bad game.
No, you want to stay in the single digits. You want to be around 6. I think that's what you were saying, right? Around 6 or 7, that's doable. And then you don't want those. And it's the time of the penalties, right? It's like, okay, we make a big play, 49-yard gain, and DK Metcalf call that back. Mm-hmm. Third down, stop. Everyone got their fist up. We're going to the sideline. Nah, stay on the field. You know what I mean? It's those game-changing, momentum-changing, possession-changing type penalties is what you want to avoid. You want to avoid all penalties, but no one plays a perfect game unless you're the 49ers, apparently. One penalty throughout the whole game, something
a little fishy
that I rarely see. But, yeah, it's the timing of the penalties. It's the type of penalties, and it's the young penalties.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Got to avoid those.
Injury report is out for the Seahawks. This is the game status for Sunday. Out defensive end Shelby Harris with a glute injury, also a non-injury related personal matter. Doubtful for this one, your nickel corner Justin Coleman with a calf injury. Safety Joey Blount, your backup safety, is doubtful. Questionable starting safety Quandre Diggs with a knee injury. So I will say Quandre Diggs was at least limited in practice. So he wasn't a non-participant. He was out Wednesday, then was limited, and is now questionable. So that's if you didn't have questionable, it would be a good trajectory, because you never want to go backwards to the did not participate. You want to move forward. The others, you'd like to see these guys out there. But, man. Quandre, if he can't play, I am nervous.
If Quandre, I got to look at this depth chart real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If Quandre.
Because you've already got Josh Jones backing up Adams. You have Ryan Neal, though he's more on special teams.
It might be Ryan Neal, honestly.
Yeah.
It might be Ryan Neal. You got Quandre, you got Joey Blount behind Quandre, but you still have Ryan Neal. I would assume that they would go Ryan Neal over Joey Blount just because Neal has experience in this defense. And we've seen with
Ben
Ryan Neal.
Doubtful.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've seen Ryan Neal. He's showing up. He's made some plays. So I would, I mean, obviously you want Quandre out there, but I would feel okay with Ryan Neal.
So that's the injury report. Pete Carroll usually speaks with reporters in about an hour. So you would hear those updates during Wyman and Bob. We'll see if he has an update on Quandre, because sometimes the final report comes out and then he's asked about it and he's like, oh, Quandre will be fine. We, you know, we're going to test it day of, but we're thinking he can go. So we'll see if there's some more updates coming up in about an hour. A question into the Mac and Jack's text line. Now, we were talking about what we want to see and what marks improvement. This is a question I'm going to see, I swear, every single week until he starts just until he balls out, is Geno Smith. If Geno Smith loses, if the team loses and Geno Smith struggles, are we going to see Drew Lock? That is a question I'm seeing on the Mac and Jack's text.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it'd have to be several weeks consistently of him not producing. He's completing 80% of his passes. Like, he's doing what this team is asking him to do. Now, they're not scoring touchdowns, but I also look at the games and don't see many opportunities for him to throw the ball down the field to create those big plays. So, no, I think it's going to take something bigger than just one off game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like three or four in a row where he's around 50% turning the football over. Then it's like, all right, let's see what Drew can do.
Also, Pete Carroll hasn't wavered in his support of Geno Smith. If you guys listen to his press conferences, if anything, he feels more confident in Geno Smith. And I don't think I'm reading into that. I mean, you can see the transcripts, you can hear him talk about it. And he's like, look, where we've struggled on offense isn't Smith. It's like our pass pro's been uneven, right? Like, we've fallen behind. We're having penalties. We're taking some stuff back. We want to run a bit more, and we also want to throw a bit more. And Geno's proven that he can succeed in the system. I mean, I think that, if anything, he feels that they should be letting Geno throw more and should be letting him do more. I know he said that, but he said that there were opportunities against the Niners to pass that they didn't take.
Yeah, and I think he's talking about as far as calling the plays, not necessarily throwing the ball physically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's Pete Carroll just holding his guys accountable. Yeah, and that's no knock on Shane, man. I mean, like, just because you are critiqued doesn't mean that you are being knocked. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no perfect game. There's no perfect call. It's up to Pete Carroll to be the leader of this program and say, look, these are a couple things that I need to see out of the offense. This is what I need to see out of the defense, and be as transparent as possible. With us, he's not going to be that transparent. But with his coordinators, man, they're sitting in that room and they're shooting it straight. They're keeping it 100. So mm-hmm. It's all about improvement. Players need to improve and coaches get better as well.
From the 360, doesn't Boye Mafe play the same position as Daryl Taylor? Boye Mafe looked pretty good.
Yeah, now four down territory, I believe. Yesterday or the day before, I said him and Daryl Johnson need to get more time. Mm-hmm. Because in about a third of the reps that they get compared to DT and Machena, they're producing. I mean, Daryl Johnson, has a tackle for loss. Boye has a sack. They're producing. So, yeah, I would love to see those guys get involved.
This is really interesting. So the 253 says, I want to see Eskridge return kicks. Show me that speed. Curious to know what you think about that, because I didn't love seeing Lockett out there. But Pete Carroll was asked about Eskridge being like, where is he? Like, don't you want to get him more involved? And he said, basically, he's still kind of learning. Like, he didn't have a rookie season. That, I didn't feel reassured by that.
Nah, and kick return is just being an athlete.
Yeah.
We used to play kill the carrier back in the day. I'm sure you guys call it something different here in the Northwest. You just toss the ball up. Whoever has it, you go ahead and get them. That's where you find out right now who's fast, who got the shakes, who can get it done. And D. Eskridge reminds me of a guy who can do that. So why not get him some touches in the kick game? But if he's not getting touches, what does that say?
Mm-hmm.
They just don't trust him in that role right now. And the thing about Lockett is that muff was not on him. Obviously, he had a guy pushed into him, he's sure-handed. So it's all about possession, especially on punt return. You don't want to muff him out there.
Well, you don't. And also, like, you want to see D. Eskridge be used more part of this offense. He's a former second-round pick. But I think it's always disheartening to hear that a player is, that it's a playbook issue or it's a play issue and it's not an injury issue. You always want the best for players. You don't want them to be injured.
Yeah.
But it feels like a weapon that they can't use right now.
Man, it is a weapon that they can't use,
right?
Or they're not using. And there's a reason why they're not using. And if Pete Carroll says he's still learning, that means that his knowledge of the playbook in the offense is limited at this point. They only trust him in certain situations. And that's unfortunate, because there's no denying the physical talent. But if you're not getting those reps, you're not getting acclimated to the game.
That's
speed.
The thing.
And,
yeah.
You know, you're always going to be one step behind.
I don't think it was a knock, a personal knock or a knock on his intelligence. On D, it was saying this is basically his rookie season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to take away what he did last year, but he's kind of a rookie out here.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a full season. He hasn't even played more than a handful of games. So taking it slow with him. But you'd like to see them expand the offense a little bit more because this isn't going to win you games.
No, it's not. And then you know what? I guarantee it. They will expand that offense this week. I truly believe that. If they don't, then I will be highly disappointed and DK will be extremely frustrated.
Is it fair to be upset with this team when I might save this question, actually. I'm going to save this question.
All right,
we'll get back to it because we got what I need to know coming up at 45 after. So I'm going to lead off with my own question and then I'll take your guys's. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game. What former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, back to that question I teased. Bump, what's a stat you feel the Hawks need to improve on defensively this weekend against the Falcons?
Easy, Stace. It's easy. Sacks and interceptions.
Done.
They have
three sacks
in three games. If my math is correct, that's one sack per game. That's not going to get it done. And now interceptions, zero interceptions in three games. They are one of eight teams to have zero interceptions. So that means, and these are related. If you get after the quarterback, he throws the ball up, you get more interceptions. Just put pressure on the quarterback, man. We need a game where there's about three or four sacks by this defense. And you called it your bold take, right? You said that the Hawks will get an interception and is going to the house. Let's make that a reality, please.
Second down. What's an issue that the NFL and sports media at large seem to have ignored that needs more attention?
Yeah, two games. My bad. They played two games. They're playing the third game. Thank you, 360.
Nah, we knew what you were saying.
Yeah, you got me.
We got it.
All right, now this one, some of y'all ain't going to like me. Some of y'all are not going to like this. But let me remind you, when Michael Vick got in trouble, right? Man, he went to jail.
Yeah.
Deserved it, right? You don't do that to dogs. And people hated Mike Vick. How could he do
they
that?
Sure
Mike
did.
Vick. Jameis Winston, this dude stole crab legs for $32. Oh my God, Jameis Winston, all across the news. He's a horrible person. Kaepernick doesn't hurt anybody. He kneels and people lose their mind. Doesn't hurt anybody. You might not agree with him. Okay, so he didn't hurt nobody. Brett Favre. Brett Favre stole about averted $5 million from people who are going to receive welfare. He directly impacted people, right? And it's nowhere. I look on the news. I'm looking on the internet like, come on now. No one is bringing light to Brett Favre. We've heard a bunch of horrible things about this dude. He's stealing money from people that need it in the poorest state in the country. And people aren't talking about this. But steal some crab legs. Take a knee. Everyone's all over. Some of y'all gonna be mad, but let's face it, Brett Favre, y'all need to be talking about this, man. He is affecting Americans right now.
Theory. Now, obviously, there are many things at play here. Do you think that any part of this is because people don't quite understand what's happening with Brett Favre? Like, they're like, I don't get it. How did he take the resources? How did this happen?
Even if you don't understand, you just read the headline.
Yeah.
Who stole $5 million
from
people who needed welfare recipients.
In the poorest state in the nation.
And no one's saying nothing about this.
Yeah.
But these other young men are just, it angers me. Because we've heard a lot of bad things about this man.
Yeah.
But no one say nothing.
Yep.
You ask yourself why.
Yep. Third down. What player do you want to see implemented into the Seahawks offense more, even if it means he doesn't get touches?
Now, this is a guy who I watch him play, and I'm like, he's versatile. He plays offense. He plays defense. He's on special teams. It's Nick Ballore. I look at the way the Falcons and the 49ers use their fullback, and I feel like he can unlock some things in this offense, right? He don't even have to get the ball. He could be a lead blocker. He could swing. He can be keep a man for protection. There's so many things that Nick Ballore can do. Now, you take someone off the field, right? Either taking a receiver or a tight end, but I think it opens up a different part of this offense. We saw him a little bit last week, but I think that if they tap into that a bit more, they can unlock some things. Nick Ballore, man, get him out there.
Fourth down. Which veteran quarterback has taken full advantage of their second, maybe third, chance in the league?
Now, there's some veterans out there, man. I look at Mitchell Trubisky. I'm like, all right, we'll see Mitch. Nah, you're not going to be there for long, even though Tomlin came out today and said, look, I'm not making a switch.
My prediction was wrong, by the way. The 350 yards and three touchdowns for Mitch. I knew it was bold. I knew it was stupid.
It was bold. Nah,
I did it anyway.
You do it. You do what you do. You got Marcus Mariota, right? He's over there with the Falcons playing decent. You got Geno Smith over here with the Seattle Seahawks. But I'm looking at my guy in Cleveland, and I'm like, okay, Jacoby, you are doing okay, man. So far this year, he has four touchdowns, one interception, 596 yards. He's not going to wow you when you put on the film, but he's doing enough to keep this team competitive. The unfortunate part is when Deshaun is back, he gone. That's just how it goes. Deshaun's going to get his rest. But Jacoby is saying, look, if anybody needs a backup quarterback, I can still get it done. I'm always happy to see veterans do their thing.
He's one of the more underrated ones, I think, because obviously Deshaun Watson took, understandably, a large portion of that spotlight, not only of the entirety of the offseason, but in Cleveland. Also, the guys that you had catching some of that attention is getting second, third, fourth chances with maybe some older veterans, right? Matt Ryan to Indianapolis. You had Mitch Trubisky in an open quarterback battle with the Steelers. Everyone kind of forgot about Jacoby.
Jacoby, man.
He's played well.
He's had some he had some good moments with with the Colts. You know
what
I'm saying? He's not a guy who you're going to build your team around, but he's saying, look, I can hold it down for a little bit.
All right, with the Seahawks taking on the Falcons this Sunday on 710, you can catch the Mariners-Royals game in its entirety on 770 KTTH. Mariners pregame coverage starts at 9 a.m. with Trident Talk. First pitch is at 11 a.m. exclusively on 770 KTTH. Let's see what's on tap. Powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. Well, that series against the Royals, it starts today. First pitch is at 5:10 p.m. Curtis, who's on the mound today?
That would be Marco.
Marco Gonzalez. First pitch is at 5:10 p.m. Pregame show starts at 4 p.m. right here on your home for the Mariners, Seattle Sports Station. Coming up next, one of my favorite parts of the week, Bump. I hope you've stretched out. Curtis, I hope that you're flexing your brain muscles. I hope you guys are ready. I don't know. I don't know. I eat omega-3 fatty acids. Like fish. I don't know what else. We are going to play a trivia game in the form of a game show. It's between Bump and Curtis. It's every single week ahead of a Seahawks game. It's a preview to help you guys get ready, but where basically you get to shout answers at your radio or at your phone while Bump and Curtis struggle to think of them. So I very much look forward to it. Series is tied, correct? 1-1 this year, much like
Correct.
The Seahawks. Okay, that's where our record stands. Let's see who can get a lead in this one. Falcons is coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Wait, All right, it is Falcons. Our weekly game show that changes every single week, in which Curtis and Bump will face off and answer trivia-style questions about this week's upcoming opponent, the history between these two teams, and sometimes the Seahawks, just for good measure. Now, there are eight questions. If we go to a tie, I have a tiebreaker in which I will explain the rules when we get there. Who's going first?
Who went first last time? You did, huh?
I did, yeah.
Bump, you want to go?
We want the ball, and we're going to score.
All right.
Question number one, it's multiple choice. The Falcons have a new head coach, and his name is Arthur Wright, Arthur Smith, Arthur McDaniel, or Arthur Williams.
Arthur Smith.
Correct.
I'm so glad I got an easy one to start.
Bump. I have made these somewhat easy this week, I feel. There's like two hard ones, each of you get one, and then other ones I made to where people could, feasibly, you could yell it at your radio.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because trivia is sometimes boring when you don't know the answer. It's better when your heart starts racing because you know and you're like, oh my God, I know immediately. What is it? Ah, yes. Okay. Question number two. Marcus Mariota is the starter for the Falcons right now, but which quarterback did they select in the 2022 NFL draft and which school did he play for? Curtis?
The Atlanta Falcons selected Cincinnati Bearcats quarterback Desmond Ridder.
Correct.
His name's Desmond.
I will forever call Dennis Ridder. I'll never stop. I think he's a serial killer. Question number three. Bump. The Falcons have scored at least how many points in each of their first two games?
Ooh.
I said this earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I remember it.
Ooh. They're averaging 26.5. So they scored at least 26.
Correct. They scored at least 26 points. They had 27 in one game and 26 in another, I think. Okay, 2 points for Bump. Curtis, a former defensive coordinator for the Falcons and a former offensive coordinator for the Falcons, both have ties to Seattle. Who are they?
A former Falcons defensive coordinator or a former Seahawks defensive coordinator?
A former Falcons coach and former Falcons offensive coordinator have ties to Seattle. Who are they?
Repeat the question. This is worded very confusing.
Well, I messed it up. Okay, a former Falcons coach. And a former Falcons offensive coordinator both have ties to Seattle teams.
Okay.
Who are they?
The former Falcons coach that has ties to Seattle teams. Is it...
It's basically just two coaches from the Falcons that have ties to Seattle
that are currently
teams.
On their
no,
staff?
No, former.
Former? Ever?
Both, neither are on the staff right now.
Like Dan Quinn?
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah, that's one of them. Another one, like Marquand Manuel?
Oh, I didn't even have that. I had Steve Sarkisian.
Oh. Well, he wasn't a Seahawk head coach or anything like that.
I said ties to Seattle.
That is.
In the confines of this game.
Kind of suspect,
Stace. In the confines of this game, we are talking NFL.
Yeah.
I got it right anyway. Right. I said Marquand Manuel, who was a Seahawk.
Fine. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you the point. God, ruining my quiz already. Bump.
Stacey.
The most passing yards ever against the Seahawks by a Falcons quarterback was in October of 2019 when this passer threw for 460.
Matt Schaub.
Yes, Matt. Matt Schaub, a.k.a. Matt Schaub.
Schaub.
Curtis, did Seattle win?
In that game?
Yes.
They did.
Yes, we are tied.
There we go.
Bump. Marcus Mariota played at Oregon, true or false? No player on the Seahawks roster played at Oregon.
Currently on the roster?
Currently on the roster. No player, no current Seahawk is an Oregon alum.
I mean, Ugo's gone. I'm going to say no player.
That's correct. No player playing for the Seahawks went to Oregon. Curtis, if you tie it up here, we will go to my tiebreaker, which is not something at all that I did intentionally. Name three former Falcons quarterbacks.
Ever?
Yeah.
Chris Chandler, Michael Vick, and Matt Ryan.
Yes. Look at that. We're tied. Oh, my God. How did we get to my tiebreaker? We are tied at four.
Bump, I think she may have softened these questions just so we could get to the tiebreaker.
I think so.
That's crazy.
I think
see
so.
If there's a
no,
aspect
you guys.
Of randomness so. Here.
That's wild. The text line is saying this is very disappointing, although someone did get Dan Quinn and Steve Sarkisian. So.
After the fact, okay. They texted in at 1:35.
Look, it's hard to come up with these quizzes every single week. I have to come up with eight questions and a tiebreaker. God. Okay, here's how the tiebreaker works. It is a buzz-in, which means you buzz in.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, you buzz in with your name. Okay, you don't yell out the answer after. You just buzz in with your name. I'll call on you.
Okay.
In case, you know, two of you are too
close.
Now,
is it just one question, or are we going back and forth for a while?
We're going back and forth. We're going to go first to five.
Okay.
Damn, you got that many?
Yeah. First to 5 points.
You spent more time on this than on the actual questions.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's called Which Bird Team? I will list a player. You tell me which bird team they played for, since we got two bird teams facing off between the Seahawks and Cardinals. You chime in with your name once you know the answer. I'll direct you to answer. First one to five wins. Okay? Sidney Crosby.
Bump. Sidney Crosby. Oh, I know this!
Bump was ready to compete. Bump.
Cardinals.
No!
He's a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do I get a point
I'll allow
I can
it.
Steal?
I'll allow
We're
it.
Talking all sports now, though. You didn't say all sports.
Bird teams.
I'm thinking this is NFL.
Bird teams.
I knew Sidney Crosby played for the dang Penguins. Goodness gracious. And Penguins don't fly if you didn't know that.
What? Now just add one more thing.
Those birds do not count.
Yeah. All bird teams.
Goodness gracious.
Jake Plummer.
Curtis.
The
Arizona
freaking Cardinals.
Bump. You can get back in this. Curtis only has two.
He has one.
He has two because he stole
steal.
That one.
Oh, you can
apparently
steal.
Apparently we can steal in the bonus round.
Okay. C.J. McCollum.
Curtis. The Pelicans.
Yes. Bump. Get your head in the game, Bump.
He doesn't play for the Pelicans. Yes, he does. He got traded. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He got traded.
Ray Lewis.
Curtis. Baltimore
I
Ravens.
I can't even get it out.
God. Bump. Okay. Here we go. Reggie White.
Bump. Eagles.
Yes.
All right. 4-1.
Okay. You got this, Bump. Devin Hester.
Bump. Devin Hester.
Bump.
Devin Hester.
Bump.
He played for the Bears, man. He didn't play for no dang.
I know it.
Oh, my gosh. It's over.
I thought it was going to be the best comeback in the history
Devin
of comeback.
Devin Hester played for both the Falcons and the Seahawks.
Yes.
He did play for the dang.
We have one more minute. I'm going to read off a couple more, okay? Right. Just for my own. Curtis takes a 2-1 lead on the season, but continue chiming in when you know, just for fun. Brian Blades.
Curtis, Seahawks.
Bump.
Who is that guy?
Who's Brian Blades?
I know.
Bo Bichette.
Bump. I don't know. The Blue Jays.
Yes. There you go. I almost wrote down a point, but you lost. Zion Williamson.
Bump. Pelicans.
You got it now.
Oh, look at me.
Kyler Murray.
Bump.
The
dang Cardinals.
You're crushing it
well,
now.
I'm letting him here.
No.
He got the win.
Kurt Flood.
Curtis. The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes. That's it.
All right.
Bump, I think, honestly, I think you did a good job. I think
Stacey,
that you just got in your own head a little bit.
Don't give me no dang third place ribbon. I don't want no ribbon. If I lost, I lost.
Look.
Everyone doesn't get a trophy.
Here's what
life
happened.
Life lessons, kids.
Here's what happened. You were quick to put the pedal to the metal. You know what I mean? The competitive spirit was there. You just, then I think you panicked.
Maybe.
All right. Well,
it's a lot different when the stadium lights are on.
The good news is next week is Lions.
Nice.
And I'm feeling that that's your week.
It's my dad's favorite team.
See,
so
I'm feeling
have
like
many
you're going to have some trivia. Exactly. Talk to him about some old Lions players, old Lions teams.
Dad, you ever hear this Barry Sanders guy?
Yeah.
What was he all about?
Ever heard of Ray Roberts?
Yeah, you guys, this is crazy. All right. What I need to know is coming up next. It's how we're wrapping up today's show and wrapping up the week. So get your questions into the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question you have, 866-979-3776. Was that quiz my best quiz? No. Was it a quiz? Yeah. And I think that
clarity.
We all participated and had fun and we had a good time.
Hockey.
It's funny because, like, when you were putting it together, you're like, I'm really proud of this quiz.
I was really proud of my tiebreaker. I thought my tiebreaker was fun.
She just rushed through.
That's exactly
the actual,
what it was. I was like, where Marcus Mariota play? Now to the tiebreaker.
Did Mariota win a Heisman?
Name Atlanta's football team.
Yeah. Name three Seahawks. Next
Ever?
Question.
Yeah, okay.
Next week's quiz will be great. It will be wonderful. It will be the best quiz that anyone has ever taken in their lives.
It's going to be tough because it's the Lions, so it's you have to dig deep.
Oh, will I dig deep? It's going to be great. What I need to know. Does Curtis always blame him there when he loses?
What?
Oh, I don't know. It says, what I need to know. Does Curtis always blame him there when he loses?
Exactly. Do you always blame him
there? I don't know.
You know.
I don't know what that means.
You always blame him there.
That's on him there. That's not me. Let's see. What I need to know. Do we really need to have Twinkies come back? Were Twinkies gone?
For a little bit. They brought him back, though.
Remember when Hostess was like going out of business and people were just
devastating.
They were buying everything?
Yeah, they would get like 10 boxes of Twinkies and just stash them and be like, what do you need those for?
Yeah.
What would you rather
going out of business?
See come back, Twinkies or Choco Tacos?
Choco Tacos.
Choco Tacos are good, man. It's basically a waffle cone smashed into a sandwich.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's, you described
who
it
wouldn't
exactly
want
what
that?
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know, crazy people.
Ooh, 907 with a good one.
Yeah.
Would you rather, this is for Bump, would you rather meet Curtis and Tribute for the season or meet Brian?
Definitely want to meet Brian.
Yeah.
You guys will do that.
Definitely.
I said if the Mariners win the World Series, we'll have Brian in studio.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. In studio. Wow.
In studio. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Anyway, next question.
First week in November.
yeah. What I need to know. Would you rather get a hole-in-one or bowl 300?
A hole-in-one all day.
I knew that you would say
all
that.
All day. Nothing like it.
Curtis.
But if you bowl a perfect game, you usually like get your picture on the wall of whatever bowling alley you're at.
Yeah.
Like, that's immortal.
Dude. I think I'd go bowl 300.
Yeah?
Yeah. Kind of fun. You get to brag about it.
Yeah, you guys.
One time I went bowling with a buddy of mine who I didn't know he was a really good bowler until like he bowled a 270 or something. I'm just like, what? One of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my entire life. Just, and it wasn't even a perfect game. It was close, but sheesh. 270.
Sheesh.
From the 425, what I need to know, what's the craziest thing you would eat from a deep fryer?
Funny you ask, because I'm going to the fair tomorrow, and we're going to have a lot of opportunities to eat stuff from deep fryers.
What can we fry?
Yeah.
I will take it. I mean, nothing's bad, like, as long as it's edible and, like, food.
Nothing's bad?
Well, no, obviously, I mean, like, you know, like, you could fry cookies, you could fry pickles, all kinds of stuff.
I wouldn't even do fried pickles.
Really?
Fried
pickles?
Yeah.
What?
I don't...
They're good.
I'm not a huge regular pickle fan. But fried pickles are
really good.
Really?
Yeah.
What I need to know. So we talked about Taylor Swift is the halftime performer, reported halftime performer at the Super Bowl. This person says, what I need to know, what would your own personal Super Bowl halftime show feature?
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. Ludacris would definitely be on that thing. You know, I throw in like normal Britney to bring back middle school.
Normal Britney.
We'll never get that Britney back.
Normal Britney. I bring in some Mary J. Blige in there. Method Man, and then I would also do a little bit of Jay-Z. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's a really good halftime show, Curtis. Your dream halftime show.
Yeah, dream halftime show, Mannheim Steamroller, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Linkin Park.
Throw in a little bit of Enya. And
some corn.
Yeah,
and,
there we go.
That is a show and a half. I want Britney. Rihanna, Beyonce.
Just like the pop icon.
Yeah, and then
the
some
last
new stuff. Doja Cat.
All women.
yeah, that's my thing. It's going to be all
Girl
women
power,
halftime
baby.
Show, yeah. Let's see, who else? I feel like we should mix it
might
up a little bit.
Might as well put Celine Dion in there, too.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
We should put Celine Dion in there.
Cher?
Yes.
Put Cher in there?
Yes. Celine Dion, Cher, bring in J-Lo. No, I mean, no offense, J-Lo. We've already got...
She's already had her
She's had her moment.
Show.
She's had her moment. Yeah. What I need to know, a couple suggestions, AC/DC and Outkast.
Outkast, yes.
Outkast.
Yes.
Has Outkast done a halftime show?
No.
Dude,
they're
the perfect choice for a halftime show.
They wanted them to do the Atlanta one a few years ago, but I don't think that ever came to fruition.
Why? Oh my God, they would have been perfect. Someone said Dean Martin.
He's long since passed.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
Let's see. What I need to know is Gino going to complete 80% of his passes this Sunday?
No, he's going to complete 72.
Oh, yeah. Bump
was
very
specific.
Because
he's going to take shots down the field. And he's going to miss a couple, but it's okay.
Okay. What I need to know, fantasy question. I have both Drake London and DK Metcalf in my fantasy league. I really want to play DK, but should I go Drake? Or just bench both and play Brandon Cooks?
I'd go Drake, honestly. I think, yeah, I'd go Drake.
And yes, I would too. And then I would just be pleasantly surprised to be wrong. I mean, I'd be annoyed that I lost fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But do I expect DK to go from being targeted very little and having how many yards on the season? Less than 100, 70 right?
Something, 75, I think.
Right. He had like 35 yards last week. Do I expect him to get 100 yards?
Mm.
I don't think so.
If your fantasy roster decisions are going to negatively impact the viewing experience you have of your favorite team, then don't put that person in your lineup. You should be more concerned with how your actual, like, the team that you root for does.
So you're saying
in your fantasy
you should leave, if you want to root for DK and the Seahawks, leave DK in your lineup just so that it's a better viewing experience for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Don't put yourself through torture on Sunday. That's all I'm saying. You're going to hate yourself for it if you do.
Final message of the week. It's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.